Welcome to Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Family Talk. I'm James Dobson, and today's show is a little different from the others that you've heard day by day. Recently, Dr. Meg Meeker, she is our regular co-host here on Family Talk, came out to Colorado Springs to record a program based on an idea that's very near and dear to her heart and indeed to mine. She is currently developing a series on principles to help parents focus on the basics as they raise godly children. As many of you know, Dr. Meeker has been a practicing pediatrician for over 25 years, and she's also a mother and now a grandmother. So she brings that heart and that information to this project. Now, I wasn't able to be with her in the studio that day. Neither was Ryan. We were both on other duties out of town. But she was here in Colorado Springs and in our studio. And I'm pleased to bring her message to you now. Let's listen as Dr. Meg Meeker shares about the principle of serving.
I'm excited to be here with you today, and we're going to talk about something that is very, very close to my heart, and that is why we need to teach our children how to serve other people. You know, many parents will take their kids to church and take them to youth group, or if they go to a Christian school or parochial school or even a public school, they have an understanding that going and serving and having their children go off to do some kind of service project is a good thing to do. But I believe that as a Christian, it's something that we have to teach our children to do. Service changes a child's character. It grows their character. It teaches them how to live with gratitude. It teaches them how to live with humility. It teaches them how to have compassion and empathy for other people. And I just feel that it's very, very important, particularly in this day and age when our culture is teaching children and teenagers and even many adults to live in a very self-centered manner. And I believe that the best antidote to raising a child who is selfish is to teach them how to serve. Now, service can occur on many different levels, of course. Many parents want to teach their children how to serve one another, how to serve their parents, and it's a very good thing, and you need to be able to do that. But I think that there's something that's very special and unique about teaching children how to serve in communities or places that they're not accustomed to. I wanted to share with you, my conviction is very strong about service, and I've lived this out with my children. Our children are grown, and they're adults right now. But when our daughter was 14 years old, our oldest daughter, she and I went on a mission trip to Dominican Republic. And I will tell you the truth, I thought, I want to take her to this mission trip to work. I was working in a medical clinic, and I want to take her there because I want to teach her about serving Christ and learning about other cultures and serving other people. And when we got down there and we finished our trip, I will tell you, by the time we came home, my daughter taught me a whole lot more about what it looks like to live the Christian faith and serve than I believe I taught her. So it's an extraordinary experience, and I think a very, very important one, because the truth of the matter is when you take your children or allow them to go on a mission trip, whether it's in the United States or whether it's abroad or whether it's in your hometown, and they really engage in the work that they're doing for Christ, it changes who they are and who they grow up to be. I recently went on a mission trip with Food for the Hungry. I'm a spokesperson for Food for the Hungry. Food for the Hungry opened a program in Bolivia and Guatemala called Little Ones. And this is a program where we are going to try to end poverty for children who are 0 to 3 years of age. Food for the Hungry is very successful in what they do because it's basically a mentoring system. And I wanted to go in and I wanted to see these families. I wanted to see these children. I really wanted to see if the mission, I really wanted to see if it worked. As I was getting ready to go down there, you know, the month ahead of time, my 23-year-old son was going to be home for a few weeks. And I said to him, he'd been on many mission trips himself with his dad to South America on many medical mission trips. And my son wasn't really keen on going on the trip. And I thought, well, he's 23. Do I make him go? Of course, I can't make him go. But he decided to go with me. And we went, got on a plane, and we flew into the capital of Bolivia, which took a day and a half to get to, 2 days. And then we got in a truck and we drove 6 hours on a dirt road far and deep into the Andes Mountains, which was spectacular. I was a little bit nervous because my son had come and this missions wasn't really his thing. But once we got down there, I will tell you, we started to minister to these little children, and we looked at the homes and we went into the schools that Food for the Hungry had built. And I saw literally before my eyes in a 1 week period, I saw this young man, his face lit up, his demeanor changed, his voice quality changed. He bonded with the people that we were on the mission trip with. And again, it was one of those startling instances where I felt I was going there to teach him something, and he taught me by watching him interact with the children and watching him interact with some of the families and looking at his face while he was walking around these little tiny quote-unquote towns where people lived in single-room huts with no windows. And I saw the demeanor on his face. He would just be crushed as he looked at these children, these families that were so poor. But the really neat thing about being down there in Bolivia was that we really got to see a program that's working. And so I was really excited. And I think, honestly and truly, my son, I don't want to speak for him, but this was what I thought. My son is a young adult who's very skeptical, and he's very inquisitive, and he's very analytic, and he's a little bit gun-shy of mission work, because I think that many of us who are Christians, you know, may have had bad experiences with ministries or so on and so forth. So it was really a wonderful experience to take him firsthand down there with me, with Food for the Hungry, to let him really ask questions and explore and see how everything was really functioning. Many parents have asked me, is it important for my children to learn how to serve in one specific country abroad? Should they work in the United States? Should they work in their home? And my answer to them is everything and anything. Teaching our children to serve in a third world country is an extremely important experience if you're able to do it. And I know that many parents aren't able to do that, and it's just fine. But I think that in America, when our children grow up with so much stuff, they have too much food, they have too much television, they have too many phones, they have too much access to too much stuff. And I think that one of the best things that we can do for our children is to pull them from that environment and plunk them into an environment where they see parents and children living with far less than they have. And most importantly, many of them see families who are living who have a tremendous amount of joy. And I think that's one of the things that really took my son back, was as an adult growing up in the United States, is that he saw the joy in the faces of these children and wondered, where in the world does that come from? How can these kids who have nothing, who are playing with pieces of paper and wadding them up into a ball and kicking them into the air, how can these kids be happy? But when a child experiences the joy that another child can have who has 1/100th of what he has, it's a wonderful teaching tool to a child. And you really can't teach that in a simple way in the United States. So if it's possible to take your children to a third world country with an organization like Food for the Hungry, I think it's an invaluable experience.
Well, this is James Dobson again, and what Dr. Meeker is sharing there about the principle of serving is so valid. To be able to take your kids on a mission trip, such as she was talking about, and what she and her husband provided for their children, can be a life-changing experience for them. Now, she already said this, but let me say it again. There are people listening to us right now, and they're thinking, oh, that would be great if we could do something like this, if we could go on a foreign mission trip like Dr. Meeker has described, but we just don't have the resources to be able to do something like that. Well, Dr. Meg is now going to explain to our listeners what to do in that situation.
It's very important to figure out in your area where there is a group of people serving other people. You don't have to look far. Many times you can look and see if there's a soup kitchen in your area. And I will tell you, for our family, when our kids are growing up, my husband insisted that once a month, our entire family served at the soup kitchen to the homeless. And that was just part of life. It's what we did. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for our children because they really, they got to know a lot of the homeless people. They knew them by name. And if somebody was sick or somebody was ill, or even if somebody would pass away, it really was very, very hard for our children. So in any city, if you're living in a city, you don't have to look far for a place to serve those who are much less fortunate than you are. Do it on a regular basis if you can. And if you don't have a soup kitchen or you don't have a Habitat for Humanity home around you where you can take your son or daughter, I don't care how young they are, 5, 6, 8 years old, take them on a Saturday morning and just pound nails beside some other people who are working on a Habitat for Humanity home. But teaching our children service is extremely important. If you're living in a city, many parents say, well, you know, should I take my child into the inner city and work there? Of course you can. It's a wonderful experience, but it's a very different experience. In some ways, you have to be very, very careful because you don't want to take your child into a situation that's dangerous. Because if you're going to do that, you really have to know who's going to be with you, where you're going to be going, what the work is going to be, and you really have to do your homework before you go. And here's another thing. I believe that it's very important as a parent, our job is to mentor our children and to teach our children by example. It's very important for us not to ship our kids off into a mission field, but to accompany them into a mission field. Again, this is very, very important for kids because I think it's important for kids to see that you really mean what you're saying. You mean what you're teaching. My husband and I have three daughters and a son, and our three daughters had gone on mission trips for many, many years with my husband, medical mission trips to South America, and they loved doing this. When our son came along and he was a teenager, he wasn't so sure that he was sold on this. He didn't like to go to areas where he was really out of his comfort zone. He wasn't even sure he liked medicine. He just didn't think that this was his bag, if you will. And I'll never forget one day I was walking down the hall in our home and I overheard my third daughter talking to our son, who's the youngest in the family, about the potential of going on a mission trip with her dad. And my son said, this just isn't for me. That's for you guys. It's not for me. And I will never forget my daughter said, and I don't even think she knows that I overheard her. She said, you need to go on this trip with dad because you need to watch dad work. And I will tell you, I'm not saying that to be boastful or anything, but what she was saying to our son was, this is dad's heart. This is what dad was born to do. If you want to get to know who dad is more, you need to go and see him work. And that's all it took. And my son went on a trip and he came back and he's gone on many trips with my husband. Again, none of our children are in medicine and that's terrific. But he went because my husband went before him year after year after year. It changed their relationship as father and son. It answered a lot of questions that our son had about God and how God serves the poor and takes care of the poor. Because that's a big issue for many, many young adults out there who are saying, I'm not sure if I believe in God, because if God were good, why would he let all these horrible things happen to people? Why would he let children starve in Bolivia? Why would God allow children to die in Ethiopia and in Syria and all of these places? And this is a very big question that as a parent, you need to be able to answer for your kids. And one of the best ways to answer that is to take your adult children into places where they see adults and children with enormous unmet needs, but they see God in the midst of those people's lives. And that answers deep theological questions for your kids in a way that you can't answer them by talking them through it. But when you allow your adult kids to go and see Christ alive and working in an underserved area, there is no greater reward as a parent, and there's no bigger teaching tool that you can give to your child than to allow them to see Christ at work. I will tell you, as one who's done a lot of mission work in the United States and abroad, many missionaries have told me, as I've dialogued with them, that they feel it's easier to see God answer prayers. It's easier to see Christ at work. It's easier to see evidence of Christ walking among his people in places where people have nothing than it is in a place where people have plenty. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Where there is a clear, felt need. Somebody needs food. Somebody needs pencils for school. Somebody needs clothes. Somebody needs a roof over their home. And those people cry out to God and ask for help. And to see God answer that prayer for those people, it solidifies your faith in a way that's harder, not impossible, but harder to see in America. When I was in Bolivia, and we were in a place that I don't even think had a name, I went to visit one of the homes where Food for the Hungry had sponsored, somebody in America had sponsored a family in Food for the Hungry, and that's how it works. One person in America helping another person in the capital of Bolivia, who's mentoring another person in the outlying areas of Bolivia, who's mentoring and teaching another person in the farthest, most remote places in the Andes. So we went to see a family that you couldn't even get to by car. We had to hike in to see this family. And what I found is I went in, and Food for the Hungry had helped this woman and her husband and their four children make a pond, if you will. They dug a pond, and then they stocked it with fish, and they taught them how to raise fish, and they raised carp. When I went down to see this woman, I looked at her in the face, and we had to have two translators, actually, because we had to have one person translate from English into Spanish and then from Spanish into their particular dialect. We were in such a remote area of the Andes. And I went over and I began talking to this beautiful woman. And as I began to talk with her, she grabbed my hands and she asked me to sit down on the edge of the pond. She just motioned to me, sit down, sit down. And I sat there and we began to talk, and she was so proud of her fish pond. And she was telling me how she was raising enough fish to feed her family, and she was raising enough fish that she could eventually sell her fish to provide some income for her family. And then she asked me to look over up at her house, and I put that in quotes because, again, it was a one-room hut with no windows where she and her husband lived with their four children. And she had learned to grow sweet potatoes. She'd learned to grow green vegetables because up until a couple of years before our visit and before the fish pond and learning how to grow vegetables, many of these people in the outlying areas of the Andes subsisted on corn and rice. And this woman was very, very excited about her fish pond. And I felt very, very humbled just by her talking to me. You could tell she loved showing this off. And then she looked over at me. And she asked me in her dialect through the translators if I knew who Jesus was. I felt that I was coming to bring Jesus to her, and she looked at me and asked if I knew who Jesus was. And I responded to her, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And her eyes lit up, and she asked if she could put my headband on, and I asked if I could put her hat on, and she giggled and she laughed. And then I asked her something. I said, do you pray? And she said, oh, yes, I pray. Do you go to church? Well, we really don't have a church around here. And then I asked her a pretty dumb question. I asked her if she read her Bible. And she looked at me and she said, well, first of all, I don't have a Bible. And she said, well, I'm hoping to be able to read a Bible one day. I'm hoping that as my children learn how to read in school, one day they will teach me how to read so I can read God's word. And my son was listening to all this and watching this interchange, and he could understand exactly what was going on. And as he watched the joy in this woman's face, when I walked away from that interaction with that woman, I didn't need to say anything to my son about how Christ loves his people, cares for his people, brings fish to people who need it, brings sweet potatoes to people who need it, and teaches the least among these people how to grow vegetables for families and children who need it. And incidentally, Food for the Hungry also helps build schools and so forth. So I was very proud of Food for the Hungry for doing what they were doing. But my pride in the organization was nothing compared to the pride that this woman had in her ability to feed her children, to raise fish, and her love for Jesus was just oozing out of every part of her. You can have those kind of interactions. You can have those exchanges with people right in your neighborhood. You can have them with people in the inner city. Friends, we bring Jesus to other people by serving them. We don't bring Jesus by teaching them. Sometimes we do. I apologize. I don't mean to belittle teaching. It's very, very important. But when we think about how Jesus first talked to people and taught people about the gospel and about himself, what did he do? Did he go in and lecture people? Was he an apologist? Well, he didn't need to be an apologist. Did he give him a book? Did he hand him a script? Did he just hand him a Bible and say, here, read this and you'll figure it out? No. Jesus taught him about his deity by serving them, by bowing down to their feet and by washing their feet and by looking up and touching their skin and holding their hands and embracing their bodies and their faces and loving them. We must be a people who teach our children to do that with their neighbors, with people they don't know, with their classmates, with people in Bolivia, with people in Africa, with people in Syria, wherever God tells them to go. We must make sure that our children are equipped to go, that they know how to serve, that they're not afraid of serving, and that they have seen service in action. Remember, Paul said, do as I do. Follow the teaching that I am giving you, not just with the words that I'm giving you. Follow my example. And I would ask you, parents, are you living a life in your homes? Are you living a life in your neighborhoods? Or wherever God takes you, that where you can say to your children, follow me, I will show you how to love my Jesus.
Well, this is James Dobson again, and you've been listening to Family Talk. And today we featured Dr. Meg Meeker teaching our children the principles of sharing and serving. And I know you can hear how close this concept is to her heart and, frankly, to mine. It's very near to Jesus' heart as well. He said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And when we teach our children to serve others, we're helping them to have a heart like Jesus. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, as you know. And if you're planning a magnificent feast on that day, which frankly we have done for many years within our family, and there are going to be all the trimmings, every good thing that I won't even enumerate here. And when you have finished eating and you're staggering away from the table, you might want to balance that experience for your children by planning an event like Dr. Meeker was talking about. Now, she mentioned two organizations in that presentation. One is called medicalministrytrips.org, and the other one is Food for the Hungry. That's lowercase fh.org. There are many other organizations that will help you provide a missions trip for your family, either domestically or internationally. Along with Dr. Meeker, I urge you to do so. This is Family Talk, and I thought this was a wonderful presentation by my colleague, Dr. Meg Meeker. Join us again tomorrow on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.